You're listening to Podcast to Practice, brought to you by Springer Healthcare IME. Podcast to Practice brings you expert-led independent medical education discussions, inspiring healthcare professionals to maximize their learning and make measurable changes in their own clinical practice. This podcast is part of an independent medical education program entitled Biomarker Positive Disease, a personalized approach to selecting targeted therapies in lung cancer and beyond, and is supported by an independent educational grant from Roche and Illumina.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast focused on the latest advances in the management of metastatic lung cancer. My name is Dr. Jamie Schneider. I am a medical oncologist specializing in thoracic oncology, and I'll be your host for this discussion on practical considerations for targeted therapy, a patient case of ALK-rearranged non-small cell lung cancer. Today, we'll be exploring the case of a 54-year-old healthy female never smoker who presented with a progressively worsening dry cough, chest tightness, and nausea. Imaging studies revealed a spiculated FDG-AVID left upper lobe mass inseparable from the hilum and multiple bilateral pulmonary nodules. A brain MRI showed multiple lesions, likely representing metastases. Biopsy of the lung lesion confirmed lung adenocarcinoma with positive staining for TTF1 and NAPCIN-A. The PD-L1 tumor proportion score was 40%. So there are a few things I'd be asking myself at this point in the diagnostic workup of this patient. What is the estimated likelihood of an actionable oncogenic driver alteration? So in a relatively young patient without a significant smoking history and with adenocarcinoma histology, I would quote about a 70% likelihood of detecting an actionable oncogenic driver alteration. What is the preferred method of molecular testing for this patient? So it is a category 1 NCCN recommendation to perform broad molecular testing in advanced non-small cell lung cancer. Multiplexed next generation sequencing, or NGS, testing is really a preferred methodology. So I'd be looking to send tissue molecular testing by NGS. What if this patient had a significant smoking history? Would anything change in the diagnostic workup here? Well, I'd have to say no. I still would be sending molecular testing for a case of advanced non-small cell lung cancer, as we know that patients with smoking histories have tumors that harbor actionable oncogenic driver alterations as well. And what about liquid biopsy in this scenario? Would that help? So depending on how quickly I anticipate the return of tissue NGS, I do sometimes send liquid biopsies at the time of diagnosis if I think it will give me a quicker answer than tissue molecular testing. But do note, please, that liquid biopsies do not provide information about histology and thus should not be used to diagnose cancer alone. And they do have lower sensitivities for picking up fusions or genomic amplifications. So for this particular patient, molecular testing with NGS has returned and revealed an EML4 ALK rearrangement. So let's talk briefly about the management of advanced ALK-positive non-small cell lung cancer. Well, there are multiple approved ALK tyrosine kinase inhibitors, or TKIs, for advanced ALK-positive non-small cell lung cancer. These include agents such as second-generation ALK inhibitors, such as alexinib or brigatinib, and a third-generation ALK inhibitor called lorlatinib. Most recently, we heard data presented at ASCO 2024 regarding the 5-year update on the third-generation ALK inhibitor lorlatinib, where we saw that the median progression-free survival was still not reached at 5 years. So therefore, I do tell my patients with a new diagnosis of ALK-positive non-small cell lung cancer that our hope is that they will do very well on oral targeted therapy for years. CNS disease is a major consideration, as it does have prevalence across multiple oncogenic drivers in lung cancer. So having a CNS-penetrant targeted therapy is really critical. In this case of a patient who presented with symptomatic CNS disease, I would explain that ALK inhibitors have overall excellent CNS penetration, with lorlatinib having the most robust data in terms of neuroprotective effects. And we'll wrap up here with a few thought questions. What if your patient needed urgent treatment prior to having the results of molecular testing back? What regimen would you start and why? So we do frequently encounter this scenario in which sometimes we do need to initiate treatment prior to having molecular testing results back. And particularly in these situations, when I have a high suspicion for an oncogenic driver alteration, I would feel okay starting chemotherapy, but I would not start immunotherapy until I know the molecular profile of a patient's tumor. And another question here, what if the patient had stage 2 ALK positive non-small cell lung cancer? What would be your treatment approach after surgical resection? So data from the ALENA trial was just published a few months ago and demonstrated that alectinib, a second generation ALK inhibitor, significantly improved disease-free survival when given adjuvantly following surgical resection of an ALK positive early stage lung cancer. So alectinib is approved by the FDA and EMA in the adjuvant setting. So in conclusion, thank you all so much for joining us today. We've discussed the management of a patient with metastatic ALK rearranged non-small cell lung cancer, from the diagnostic workup to the selection of targeted therapies, both in the advanced and early stage setting. This case highlights the importance of personalized precision oncology approaches in this modern era of lung cancer treatment. Thank you all for your time, and we look forward to our next discussion.
Thank you for listening to Podcast to Practice, brought to you by Springer Healthcare IME. For more information on our educational programs available, visit ime.springerhealthcare.com.